You know, I guess Paramount and Spyglass and Radio Silence and whoever else was involved in the editing and the release of this trailer, they decided that the teaser and the official trailer for Scream 6 wasn't enough, and they decided we will not wait until Super Bowl Sunday, we will wait until today to drop a new fucking Scream 6 trailer, the Super Bowl trailer to be exact. And I'm here for this, man. They dropped it a couple minutes ago, about 20 minutes ago, and this is completely left field, man, but I'm okay with that, because while I wasn't sold on the teaser trailer too much, and it didn't really give me anything to go on, and I was kind of like, oh, we've seen every fucking slasher movie in New York, and Jason did it, and blah, 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 when they dropped that official trailer, oh yeah, I was pumped up, I was revved up, I said, this feels charged up. Ghostface doesn't give a fuck, he's walking into the, you know, the corner poppy stores and stabbing people up and killing store clerks with fucking shotguns. He one-handed the shotgun and blew that motherfucker's chest cavity open. I don't know if he shot him in the chest or shot him in the face or whatever happened. Ghostface is indeed different in this one, man, and I love that line that he or she says to Gale Weathers during that stalk sequence in the trailer, where it's like, you've never seen one like me before, I'm something different. This Ghostface does feel different. This movie feels way more intense, man, and while we do expect humor and, you know, witty, upbeat type of writing with these characters to be involved in a Scream series, because that's one of the things that the foundation was built on, is that type of, you know, meta comedy. This, the last trailer doesn't really show too much of that at all. If I'm not mistaken, there is nothing funny, unless it's unintentionally funny. There's nothing funny about that last trailer, man, and that's cool. I'm cool with this being, you know, taken more seriously and letting everybody know the stakes are higher than ever. I feel like the last movie, which I thought was fantastic, it was a great sequel. I feel like they let us know that shit was, the stakes were higher than they've ever been, and I definitely felt like we felt that in us as fans when Dewey got killed, and in the manner he got killed, man, it's like, holy shit, anybody can get it. Even Amber, I know a lot of people didn't buy the reveal of Amber, spoiler alert, she was one of the killers in the last movie. They didn't buy the fact that she killed Dewey, but she does have that line where it's like, you know, Dewey had to die so that we let her, then I don't know what she said exactly, but she said something along the lines of, Dewey had to die so that, you know, people know that our movie has fucking stakes. And I feel like they haven't done that since Scream 2. When they killed Randy, they have not made a ballsy decision like that since Scream 2. So I don't know. It's one of the reasons I think Gale's going to die in this movie, unless, you know, what if they kill Sidney Prescott in the beginning of the movie? I have no idea what they're going to do here, but I'm here for it, man. You know, Hayden Panettiere is back as Kirby, which is always awesome fucking news. Courtney Cox, Jasmine Savoy Brown, Mason Gooding, Jenna Ortega. Of course, Melissa Barrera is back as the lead in this movie. And we got some new faces in here. Samara Weaving's one of them. The motherfucker from Copycat that gets shot is in this. It's a whole bunch of things that they gave us in the last trailer. But I'm excited for this, man. Shout out to Joe Blow Top Trailers. Like I said, they dropped this about 20 minutes ago. And this trailer is a minute and 14 seconds long, people. So let's not waste any more time. And let's jump into this Super Bowl trailer for Scream 6. I will hit the play button in 3, 2, 1.
We're too high up. We can't get down from here.
Mm-mm. Woo, that Judgment Night ladder scene. Fuck that. Shit. Mindy, please don't die, Mindy. That ladder scene gonna be crazy.
This isn't like any other Ghostface. What is this place? It's a shrine.
Mm-hmm. Easter Egg City.
Guys, we've got to lure him in. We execute him.
Come on, mother!
Scream. It's for you.
Only in theaters March 10. Tickets on sale now. I wonder how, listen, I think I've asked this question before, but how much do y'all think the guy gets paid to, you know, to narrate those movie trailers? He's always like, tickets on sale now, sounding like he has like fucking laryngitis or something. Is this trailer better than the last one? Of course not. They make Super Bowl trailers a tad bit quicker sometimes. And this has still got the same intensity. We just don't see as much of it. As far as like the level of intensity is there, especially That ladder sequence is going to have people shitting themselves and on pins and needles. Like, like, can you imagine shitting on yourself while you're sitting on pins and needles? That is probably got to be one of the most uncomfortable feelings ever. But I always compare that ladder sequence to Judgment Night, man. And I feel like I'm hoping that is one of the most intense sequences. Now, I'm going to make a claim here. I don't think Mindy dies during that sequence. I don't know. But there is a shot in one of the TV spots. There's tons of TV spots, by the way, you guys can find on YouTube. There's one shot in the TV spot where it looks like Mindy has already made it across the ladder. I don't know if they're trying to mislead us here and if there are alternate versions of that scene, but there's a shot where it looks like Mindy has made it across. And that girl, I can't remember that actress's name, but the girl who's got on, like, what is that, a yellow or lime green blazer or some shit like that? Whatever she's got on, I'm sorry, she looks like a disposable character. Maybe she won't be, I don't know. But as far as disposable goes, there's a shot in one of the TV spots where Ghostface is shaking that ladder, and that girl, not Mindy, but the other girl that I mentioned, is, you know, she's on the receiving end of that. She's trying to cross over and make it over to the rest of the survivors. Also, I don't know if that shot of Jenna Ortega, like, swinging while I think Melissa Barrera is holding on to her, I don't know if that's the ladder sequence or I don't know if that's a sequence inside of that abandoned movie theater, because there's so many shots of Jenna Ortega in the movie where, not so many shots, but there's one shot in particular where I thought that she looked like she was just giving up hope, and she's holding on to somebody's arm and it looks like she's about to fall, and she kind of smirks. But then I realized, I looked back at it and I was like, that's not a look of submission where she's ready to give up and die. She's smirking. So I said, wait, is that like a gotcha type of moment? And is that a moment where, you know, where she's going to be revealed as one of the killers? I have no idea. But that's the joy of theorizing with these Scream trailers, man. You know, you can kind of choose your own theory and just run on that. You know, everybody's running with the whole Stu Mocker is still alive theory. And people honestly have been running with that theory so much that I'm really hoping Stu is not in the movie at all. So if Stu is in the movie, cool. But if he's not, it really makes no difference to me, because that's not, I entertained it for a little bit, but I got wrapped up in it. It's kind of like when I was getting wrapped up in all the theories for Halloween Ends. I want to let go of that theory of the Stu Mocker shit, and I want to just start theories of my own. I don't want to run with the flock and run with the popular opinion and the popular theory and all that shit. Y'all know I don't do that. But this trailer's cool, man. I'm cool with that. Like I said, I prefer the last one we got, but this is cool. I'm glad that there's still excitement as if it's the first Scream movie or the second Scream movie. Being as though we're in the sixth film in this franchise, this could have easily went off the rails. You know, I think Richie or somebody has a line in the last Scream movie where it's like, yeah, after part five, or by the time you get to part five, these franchises go completely off the rails, which was actually like a meta type of, you know, sneak diss to its own, you know, its own series. It's a self-aware type of thing that the franchise has always done. But crazy thing is, part five ended up being one of the best sequels, if not the best sequel in the entire franchise. I don't know. Jury's still out on that. I got to rank these. But let's watch this trailer one more again, people. Yeah, that girl that Mindy told to run, I think she's going to die in this sequence. Oh my God, Mindy. Who is that? Is that Chad that's on the other side with Sam?
What is this place? It's a shrine. Guys?
Yeah, that's in the movie theater, I think.
We execute him. Come on, mother!
Scream. It's for you. March 10th, tickets on sale.
All right, so let me run a couple frames back here. When Ghostface is slashing, there's one moment where he's slashing and he's in an alleyway. I think that's the opening kill, and I think Samara Weaving is the opening kill in a New York alleyway. I feel like that's going to set the stage for, you know, the new surroundings for the characters, or the new city that the characters are in overall. Now, this scene where he's inside it, you know, he's got the decayed mask and he's inside of somebody's house, and he's he's like fucking, you know, he about to Barry Bonds somebody's black ass in there because he's got that knife cocked all the way back, ready to slash somebody's entire head off their shoulders. I think that's Gail's death scene. I don't know. It might be a different... Gail looks like she's in, like, this fancy loft apartment. This might be a different... This might be a different place that he's in. But, I already think Gail is... I don't think she's going to make it out of this movie alive. I really don't, man. I feel like in some ways, it's only right for her to be with, you know, as she said in the last movie, her best friend. You know, Dewey's gone. So it's only right to have Gail reunited with Dewey in the most brutal manner possible. But on the flip side of that coin, I feel like Gail, and a lot of people can attest to this because I've seen it online, and I've actually agreed with this when people say this online. They say that Gail is one of the unsung final girls of horror movie history, and she really is, man. Gail is she's a field agent in these movies. She doesn't mind getting her hands dirty. She's never really run from the killer per se. She's always been hands-on with everything, you know, from her pulling a gun out in front of Billy Loomis and Stu's entire faces, from her, you know, shooting Mrs. Loomis, was it Mrs. Loomis or Mickey? It was actually Mickey that she shot. You know, she shot Mickey up with Cindy. You know, her having the revolver in her hand, even though her and Ghostface fall down the stairs together in Scream 3, you know, she's got the revolver snooping around. She's always, you know, putting up the cameras all over the Stabathon party, the barn party in the fourth movie. She's been hands-on from the very beginning. Like I said, she's a field agent. So Gail Weathers definitely deserves her flowers in the series, man. And if they want to keep Gail around because Neve Campbell isn't around, I'm cool with that as well. But what was I about to say here? It was something about that ladder sequence. I'm trying to go back a couple frames to the ladder sequence here because I need to know who's on the other end of that with Sam. God damn, where the hell is the... Okay, I think that is Chad. Oh, no, that's not Chad. Sam has gotten across, and that guy, that is not... I don't know if that's the guy from Claws and Baywatch, the one that was Niecy Nash's ex-boyfriend in Baywatch. I don't know if that's him, but he damn sure looks like him. And I don't know if he's playing Sam's boyfriend, but he's playing a character named Danny Brackett. And obviously, you know, I don't know if they did this on purpose. Brackett, I'm assuming that's a nod to Charles Cypher's character in Halloween. But, I don't know. Now, one thing we do know is that these trailers... And there's a big thing about this nowadays, too, where they talk about how you can possibly get sued for, you know, misleading people in these trailers. And a lot of examples came to mind, but I feel like that's fine. Like, if you want to put alternate scenes in the trailer, that's cool. I mean, listen, as disappointing as it may be, we've seen it done. We've seen them CG the Hulk in the Avengers Infinity War trailer. We've seen Fast and Furious deliver lines and have scenes, a few scenes in the trailers that's not even in the movie. We've seen Halloween 2018 give us glimpses of an ending that we still haven't saw. I don't know if it's on the DVD, special features, deleted scenes or whatever, but they do this all the time, man. And I feel like if they want to mislead us and throw us for a loop, that's cool, man. It just adds to, you know, the idea of fans going crazy and theorizing and, oh, what we thought may have been in a movie or what we thought may have been going on isn't exactly going on. I'm cool with that, man. I'm not going to be crazy about it. That's why we have, you know, Blu-rays and special features that you can find on YouTube or whatever the case may be. I'm not too bothered by it, man. I'm excited for this. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to put more TV spots out there. Like I said, I've seen enough TV spots for this where I'm ready for the fucking movie. I'm ready for this movie to be released. When's it being released again? Let me check this shit one more again. Okay, March 10th. So, I mean, that's right around the corner. We're already in, you know, we're in February. Excuse me, people. It's the 8th of February. March 10th will be here before you know it. Couple weeks, people. That's all we have to wait to see Ghostface do his or her or they or them, their thing. We got a while to wait till we see their thing. Y'all get what the fuck I'm saying, man. This coffee has gotten the best of me this morning. And we're going to try to keep this shit rolling, man. I got something, you know, got some commentaries coming. Got the RNZ live stream tonight. But y'all already know where to go, man. And if y'all don't, y'all can follow the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Radio Public, Podbean, and Podcast Addict. Shout out to Anchor. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok for Meryl Tudor. Shout out to the Facebook movie group, The Cinemaniacs. And shout out Last but certainly not least, the two reviewers, listeners, the lovers, the supporters out there. Like I said, people, had to put another emphasis on this and remind everybody, the RNZ live stream is tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern time, with my boy Johnny Zuko. And also make sure y'all tune into that on Instagram Live. It'll be up on YouTube, but y'all can tune in tonight on Instagram Live. We'll be on there talking about movies, whether horror or otherwise, that deserved sequels, man. He told me, Johnny sent me a text last night, let me know that he has 6 picks. I let him know that I have 9. I kind of went overboard with this because there's so many fucking movies that left stones unturned, man. They were left so open-ended. And I feel, ooh, I almost said 2 of them right now. But I'm going to save it for the stream, man. Like I said, tonight, 7 p.m., it'll be up on YouTube probably the day after. And make sure y'all also go check out Johnny's podcast. And shout out to Ginger Snap and Miss Moist, his co-host. Make sure y'all check out Bumpin' the Night podcast 1428 on Podbean and everywhere else the podcasts are available. And yeah, man, more commentary coming for y'all, man. It is Black History Month, so we're going to keep the, you know, the black horror, sci-fi, and just the black cinema in general, man. We're going to celebrate this month, you know, just like we celebrate movies all the time, man. But I feel like we're going to keep it blackety black, and I'm black, y'all, this month in particular. But y'all already know, man, the love and support y'all show me, I show it back to y'all tenfold and then some. So with that being said, people, yours truly, Romero Tudor, another episode of Tudor Reviews in the can. I'll check y'all on the next one.